Hi there, Steve Arterburn here today for New Life Live. Joining me today, Mylon Yurkovich, the author of How We Love and How We Love Our Kids, Dr. Jill Hubbard, The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets Young Women Keep. Both of them, their books, their titles, they just keep repeating themselves. Anyway, come join us for New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're here today.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, well, I know it's not my birthday, and sat down on the couch.
Oh, I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
It was Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a 3-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school, high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. You might be one of those people that listens every day. Thank you for doing that. Maybe this is your first time. We do have people stumble onto the program. What we're trying to do here is help people with real live problems, give them real live solutions that honor God and include God and the Holy Spirit and Christ in the mix here. And because we do believe that the source of all truth is our God in heaven, and we rely on His Word, the Bible. Mylon and Jill, welcome. How are you guys doing today?
Hi, Steve.
We're doing well.
Yes, we are.
And
hanging out.
Yep,
right?
We are. Beautiful July day, and we're just glad we're here. But, you know, to your point, Steve, we need community and the Bible. You know, the Bible says
That's right.
The church is all about dialogue, truth, transparency.
Living the Word.
Living out. We're the hug, the eyes, the ears, the touch that God does not provide, and he tells us to have many of our needs met through people.
Yeah,
and so
as imperfect as we all are,
wounded healers, and so we all are, but yet he tells us to reach out to each other for something.
Right,
and so that's what this show is all about, Steve.
Absolutely, I have never heard her name pronounced, but she's the woman that wrote Fear of Flying. I don't know if it's Erica Jong or Young. What do you think her? How you would pronounce J-O-N-G? Maybe you know for sure.
I don't know for sure.
Well, anyway, she wrote this book, Fear of Flying, which was a book on sexuality for women. It was a kind of a game-changing book and about women's sexual freedom. I just read an article by her in the New York Times. She says, for people nowadays, sex intimacy appears to be neither the norm nor the objective. She says the internet obliges by offering simulated sex without intimacy, without identity, and without the fear of infection. Clearly, the lure of internet sex is the lack of involvement. We want to keep the chaos of sex trapped in a device we think we can control. Boy, does she ever believe a lot of things that we believe. It's so interesting when secular folks come around like this. She says, lust for control fuels our current obsession with the deficit, our rejection of passion, our undoing of women's rights. She got to throw that in. How far will we go in destroying? Anyway, now go down the next paragraph. Different though we are, men and women were designed to be allies, to fill out each other's limitations, to raise children together. I love that. And give them different models of adulthood. And she goes on to say, we've got to fix this lack of sexual intimacy problem in our country. And, you know, that's what we try to do with Every Man's Battle, because so many men have become connected to the internet and sexual internet and pornography. And we've got an Every Man's Battle coming up August the 12th, 13th, and 14th. And I really hope you'll go. And if you're a woman attached to one of these guys, we have Women in the Battle, a workshop specially for you by Sherry Denham on September the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. If there is a sexual integrity problem in your family, we have a resource for you. Either it's for the man or for the woman. You call us and find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back with phone calls right after this message.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And let's go over here to Deanna from Brentwood, California, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello there.
Hello. Hi, guys. I'm Jill.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I love you guys. I love your advice. I have taken my dad's advice, kind of like Stan earlier said. I have tried to draw closer to God and try to get an answer from him, but as we know, he doesn't answer us as fast as we'd like sometimes.
That's true.
My question is, I've been married for 5 years with the same guy for 8 years. We have a one-and-a-half-year-old together. We are a blended family, so we each have, I have a 13-year-old, and he has a 16-year-old, and then we have the baby together. I just found out, it was brought to my attention a little over a month ago, that he's been, from the time we've met, had several affairs, has a sex addiction, and they're not emotional affairs, I guess you can say, but mm-hmm. just pure sexual.
You said it was
brought.
You said it was brought to your attention. What does that mean?
Not from him. Not from him. Somebody called me, and it's somebody in the family because one of the people that he was having an affair with happens to be his stepdaughter from his previous marriage. So that's the biggest problem
oh
for me.
Boy. Yeah. Okay. So your husband,
has layered.
He has a very, very severe problem. And now that you know about it, you have to react in the best way possible. That would, for me, the objective would be for his healing, for the marriage to be saved, and for you to be able to resolve all those feelings that you have. Mylon, Jill, what do you think she should do now that she realizes he's been unfaithful?
Well, Deanna,
from the beginning.
Deanna, what's your question? Did you have a specific question in the midst of all that?
Well, I did move out already because I stayed there for about 3 weeks, and then I just knew that I couldn't. Staying there made to me was saying I was accepting it, and I don't accept that behavior. It's not who I am. It's not how I was raised. I've been raised a Christian. My question is, I got lost for a second. He has recently now. I have tried to get him to go to church, you know, through the years and whatnot, and he had never wanted anything to do with it, but now that he's been exposed, and I don't want to discredit his relationship with God, but apparently 3 weeks ago he has become a born-again Christian. Does God expect me to reconcile with him?
Oh, that's such a great question.
Because now I'm a Christian.
Yeah. You know, when he accepted Christ, have you talked to him since then?
Oh, yeah. Well, we still talk. We have, I'm angry inside, but I'm not like one of those really outrageous type people. We can communicate. We have kids together, and even my stepdaughter is like my daughter, so yeah.
Well, I bet you noticed something, and that is this, that when he accepted Christ as his Savior, he didn't instantly become a mature man who has character. He is a man very motivated to live the life that Christ wants him to live. But if he doesn't do something about the sexual addiction, I think it's a ticking time bomb there. and it's going to really hurt him badly when he discovers that just because you accept Christ doesn't mean that you are healed of everything and don't have to fix some things in your life.
Well, and as a Christian now, Steve, wouldn't he naturally want to do everything possible to repair his sin?
Well, what has he said about that? That's just such a good point.
That is a good point. He does. He is definitely on the high of being a newborn Christian. He feels he is cleansed and God cleansed him, and now he's reborn. He's a new man, and he can be the perfect husband that he's ever been in his mind, because he feels that, you know, that freshness when you become a new Christian, and he feels the Holy Spirit inside of him, and he wants desperately to have the family together.
Okay, like, so how long? Deanna, then the perfect Christian husband would be willing to take certain steps. So to help you, you know, not as a guarantee that you want to go back with him, but to help you feel better about any type of moving forward. So
I think he's trying. He's giving me my space. You know, like I said, I've moved out. He's just trying desperately, keeps saying, how much longer do you need to heal? You know, he's a little impatient. And thinking that, how much more time do you need? Because I'm going through phases where I went through a shock phase, I went through a hurt, now I'm an angry stage right now where I don't even like to look at him. You know, and I can't imagine being intimate with him ever again. I feel betrayed on many levels. At the same time, we have this baby together, and I don't know the Christian part. He is coming to church on Sunday. I have suggested going to men's groups or, you know, getting around Christian people. And he feels, well, I'm going to church and reading the Bible, I'm okay, right? That's enough.
Well, you see,
that's exactly
you see what's
my point.
That's her point, and he's rushing you. You see,
right.
If he love is patient, love is kind,
right.
And that patience tells me something about him. That patience tells me, because he's on this high, that he's an intense person. And that intensity is why he has affairs. He's seeking to maintain intensity, just like a drug high of intensity
like
in relationship, just like an addict. So we could therefore say, he could say to you, when are you going to be done with your journey, Deanna?
Right.
As opposed to, I have an addictive personality based upon intensity and idealism. And when I'm all good, I think I'm all good. But when I'm all bad, I think things are all bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do this split back and forth between all good and all bad. And I'm in an all good place right now. And I can't figure out why you're not with
why
me
you're
right
not.
Now.
Yeah.
You know? So,
exactly.
So really, you need to stick to your guns and ask the question, the opposite question back to him. What are you going to do to earn our trust back over the next several weeks, months, and years? Because if he's been this unfaithful to you, and if he has had an affair with a stepdaughter, this is a dangerous individual.
I agree.
Well, do you?
That's more than crossing boundaries.
Yeah. Do
sure
you?
Is.
Do you really agree? How old is the stepdaughter, by the way?
She is now 24, but I believe it started at 17, 18, and her willingness, too. It's not that he was, you know.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
either
matter.
Way,
doesn't,
I agree.
Doesn't
either
matter.
Way, that's the hardest part of all
now,
of this.
Now, what inside of you wants to give people the easier way out? I can just hear it in your voice that, you know, that you want to, you know, there's part of you that wants to give in.
Well, and when someone might... Sorry, let me step in here. When someone's in an all-good place, you know, it's fun to join them there because it's a much more fun place than to be considered, you know, Deanna who's being the downer, right, and squelching his fun. And so I imagine that even the two of you getting together, you know, his intensity at times for you was really, really fun.
Absolutely. That's probably what attracted her to him.
Right, right.
Yeah,
so
he has that gift.
So he can persuade you with that and you know, wanting you to be more fun with him and joining him and not wanting you to be that more mature, responsible individual, because that just isn't fun.
I just have to say, Deanna, I have to say something right here. His intensity is not a gift. You said it's such a gift. No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
It is too extreme. When he's at an intensely high place, there's no bad. It's a not an integrated world for him. It's either all good or all bad. So that's not a gift. I just have to stop right there and say. And now, is he charming?
Yeah,
okay. Sure, but it's not a gift.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest negatives for him would be to know that he's very typical of other men that we've worked with, and we know this type of person, mm-hmm. and there's a 99% chance that the path that we see ahead for him is accurate, and it's not a good path. If he were to read James 5:16 in his Bible, he would see that it says to confess your sins to one another, and that's a big part of the healing process. Anybody that says, I just have God and my Bible and church or whatever that combination is without connection with other people are denying a big part of what's in Scripture about connection and community. So if I were you, I would decide what would I require of him, and certainly time would be required and consistency would be required, that he wouldn't relapse, mm-hmm. and that he would tell you that he's going to do something about his past to bring closure, resolution, and healing to the past, that whether or not he thinks it's a good idea, you think it's a good idea. And he has been betraying you all these years. It is time that he did something for you. And so it shouldn't be too much for him to go to an Everyman's Battle workshop, mm-hmm. or get into a small group of men. And you should not feel bad of saying, if you aren't willing to do this for me after years of unfaithfulness and betrayal, then I question your sincerity.
I believe if I ask him to go, he will do anything at this point that I ask him to do, but I don't want to feel that he's doing it because I'm telling him.
It doesn't matter the reason he does it. Once he gets there, mm-hmm. it's the job of the counselor to address those kinds of external reasons, and they usually 99% of the time change.
Deanna, it's important for you to establish what you will tolerate and what you won't.
Yes.
And therefore, you need to set the criteria, because he's not going to come up with it on his own, because he already thinks he's done enough. So while you're not wanting to minimize his conversion, that's wonderful. You're thrilled for him. These are the ongoing things, every man's battle, a 12-step program, either through like a Celebrate Recovery, a church program, or a Sex Addicts Anonymous program, ongoing,
right.
meeting with men every single week so that he has accountability, you know, so that he can come to a place where he can really see his sin and have remorse and have a transformed heart, and to do the work of growing himself up, because he's really immature on the inside. Because
mm-hmm.
every time he struggled, he would just go have a little sexual encounter.
Right?
A boundaryless sexual encounter. And so now he's got to reel it back in and see, this is not how adults deal with their struggles and hurts. And so... Go ahead.
Sorry. My worry is... I want to make it clear that I don't, at this point right now, I have no desire to be back with him and to reconcile with him.
Okay.
Other than the fact that we have the daughter together.
Well, that would be my point, yeah.
Okay.
Is that, Deanna, regardless of whether you get back together with him or not, you will always have contact with him. And so, you still need him to do these things for your child. Because is your child a girl or a boy?
Yeah, a girl.
Okay.
And my stepdaughter's a girl.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You have children to protect.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You have a obligation
to
protect those children from him.
So, Deanna, along those lines of protection that Jill is saying, what hurts in your history keep you from wanting to be the one that causes hurt in the future? To say no to people, to set the boundary, to say that's unacceptable. What's causing you to be soft here? Because you're afraid. Otherwise, I'd hear something different from you.
Yeah, I'm too soft. I have that. Mm-hmm.
So why? What within your own history caused you to be soft? Who scared you? Who intimidated? Who criticized you? Who scared you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe I have insecurity within me. But the thing is, I've always had gut feelings, and I never followed them. Even with him, I always had these gut feelings.
Okay. Well, that's what fear does.
That shuts down the gut. That's your lesson here to learn. So you don't walk into relationship number three and do the same thing.
And what I've made bad choices in my past, and maybe the godly choices where I lived with him before I got married. I realized that I made bad choices, and I am.
Well, let me say this, Deanna, for the sake of your child, I would just say it's normal to feel all that anger and stuff that you feel right now, but I think you're going to be shocked at how willing to forgive him you would be if you saw him actually taking action about the unfaithfulness and betrayal. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. Hope you like it.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We have some wonderful things coming up, and we'd love for you to join us there. It would really, I think, could be life-changing for you or somebody that you deeply love. And coming up, we have a new Every Man's Battle on August the 12th and the 14th, Wives in the Battle, September 23rd through the 25th. And then we have over 900 therapists, Christian counselors around the country. If you need some help, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we're not that far away from our matching gift of being able to give $100,000 so that we can get $100,000, or you have given $100,000 almost, and to get the $100,000. So please call us and help us get over this little hump so that we can get the $1,000 matching gift. If you've never given, I just pray that you would ask God if this is the ministry to support, and if it is, please respond. Let's go to Sharon from Richmond, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. My question is, I've met this wonderful man. He's Catholic, and I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both divorced, and he has small children. He is so good to me, and he is such a good man, and I have, I'm drawn to him. I just really care about him a lot, and mm-hmm. I am concerned, though, that because of our religious backgrounds, that this you know, this is bound for failure. So I'm calling to get a perspective of the reality check.
Okay. What kind of church do you go to or have you gone to?
I go to First Christian Church of Disciples. I'm Protestant. I'm also, it was a Baptist background. But he's Roman Catholic, and I've gone to Mass, and we have shared our religious faith, and we've studied the Bible together. We've gone out together. And it's just, I sound like the last caller. I feel in my gut I know what to do, but I have a fear of, I guess I have a fear.
Well, what is his relationship like with Christ? You guys are talking about spiritual things, reading the Bible together. Is he a Christian or not? People can go to a Protestant church and not be a Christian or live like a Christian. Sounds like he does live like a Christian, but you can go to a Catholic church and not be a Christian. So is he? Does he believe that the only way that he will enter into heaven is by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for his sin? That's really, to me, first and foremost in the area of faith.
Yes, I mean, I've even gone to Mass, and I mean, the focus is Christ.
Okay, so if he is a Christian, then you've got to address the practical issue of worshiping in a Catholic church is extremely different from your spiritual experience.
Yes.
And you have to make some decisions based on that. Let's hear from Mylon and Jill.
Well, Sharon, I'm just wondering, you know, how willing is he to talk about his faith, and how willing is he to visit your church?
He has visited my church. He's willing. Of course, I can't take communion in the Catholic Church because I'm not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
At times, I mean, he's open, and then at other times, it's like, you know, we're the second class. We're the second class religion because we broke off from the Catholic Church. Hmm. The Catholic Church is the original church.
He has a lot of church pride.
You didn't make that decision, you know. He's got a relationship with you, not with the reformers.
Right, but I think that's where the real division is. I think mm-hmm. that's, you know, I think there's a real division when it comes to there. And another thing, I think the thing is that, you know, they believe that the knowledge, the interpretation of Scripture comes from the church. It comes from the priests. It comes from the church itself, and not necessarily a working of the Holy Spirit, where we as Protestants believe that the illumination of the mind, the Spirit, is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and that's how we get our information.
Yeah, there are differences.
That's how we learn.
There are differences.
Definitely.
As I said before, to me, the bottom line is he a Christian? And there are many Protestants going to Protestant churches who aren't Christians.
Absolutely.
And so that's the thing that you guys need to work out.
And is for both of you, is your allegiance more to your denomination than it is to Christ and your Christian faith?
I think his is.
Okay.
I think his is because, truly I think mine is too, because I would never become a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know in my heart I would never, you know, abandon what I believe to be who I am and what I believe in.
Mylon, what are you thinking?
Sharon, how old are you?
50.
Okay, so he has small children, you said.
Yeah, he's divorced with small children. He's 54.
Okay, so this is one of many issues mm-hmm. that the two of you would have to negotiate. Of course, what is the history of each of your divorces? What was each of your contribution to that what happened? Number two, he has small children. If you enter into a relationship with a 50-year-old person and you're 50, and now they're small children, what do you do with that? If they're not your children, does it matter that they're raised in a slightly different religion than yours? These are all a variety of issues you have to look at. I think what you're telling me is you're afraid you don't want to lose a guy that's a really good guy, and I don't want to lose him.
Right, but there's there's a lot of baggage.
Okay. Well, we all got baggage. Mm-hmm. Except Mylan has luggage. I don't have baggage. It has leather handles and it's monogrammed. And
big
it's,
difference.
There's a big difference in my baggage, but we'll hear about that after the break.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back, and we were talking to Sharon in Richmond, Virginia. And, you know, tell me, Jill, do you think that being a Christian and going to different churches, could that be divisive in a marriage, like for Sharon? And how do you pan out on this thing?
Well, I think it can be divisive, just like so many things. Some of the things that are differences right from the get-go can be divisive throughout an entire relationship. But it really kind of states, how do you deal with problems? Because you're not marrying or in relationship with your twin who thinks exactly like you.
Right.
So is there enough alignment? Because we know in our Christian faith there are certain absolutes that we need. So is there enough alignment to then compromise on some of the other issues? Like maybe we attend, you know, one church on Sunday and another one on Saturday night. Or, you know, there's different ways of dealing with the issue. And can we extend grace to the other person for how they see things?
And if I'm the step-parent, it's not my role to say how that parent or the other two parents should parent their children. You know, if that's their choice, that's their choice. But is it possible for anybody in their 50s who's dating to find somebody that is pristine, that every category fully matches what you'd ideally like to find?
I don't know. If there's anyone out there,
call 1-800-229-3000 for Jill. Okay. But that's the point I'm trying to make is there's going to have to tolerate some tensions.
Right.
This person is not going to be an ideal individual. They're not going to match in all categories.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn to live within those tensions instead of all good or all bad.
Right. But it's kind of living in that middle place of not just accepting everything, right, as some people do who overlook so many things, and not being so rigid and unaccepting of things, idealistic.
And you had to say, what's your non-negotiables?
Right.
And that's really the important one. Mm-hmm. What is my non-negotiable?
You know what I think it is?
What is it?
Well, I think it's the old thing. We used to have a saying like this when we were younger. Your head says yes, but your heart says no. Mm-hmm. And her head is saying, this is such a good man, and I want to be married, and I love these children. But your heart knows that this is fraught with difficulty.
But all relationships will be fraught with difficulty. Yeah. And I think what we're saying here is you have to ask yourself, what can you live with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you really have to take them all. And it's one of the many issues you have to lay out on the table, and it becomes a negotiable relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that that's helpful to you. And I'll send you How We Love. I think it certainly goes beyond denomination in identifying patterns and the way people relate to each other. And that's coming your way. If you haven't read that book, it is really an amazing book and just doing so well sales-wise. I told people in the introduction I wrote I would give them their money back if they didn't like it. It really is one of those books everybody ought to read.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's go to Jerry from Kenai, Alaska.
Kenai. Hello,
Kenai, Alaska.
Kenai,
hi, Jerry.
Kenai, Alaska.
Hi.
Hello. Appreciate your show. I was referred to you locally by one of the local churches. I have been a Christian most of my life. I'm 52.
Mm-hmm.
I have six children, two of which, and I've been married twice. And my recent wife left us in July of last year. She's been in and out of our marriage. And this last time, she told her son, who is my stepson, not to tell anybody, and they just snuck off. And right now, she's in one of the local villages here. She does have alcohol and drug problems.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been physically abusive, and this is over like a 10-year expanse. She's physically assaulted me and my boys. I have three boys. One is now 22, and the other is 16, and my youngest, he is 10, but they all reported to me that she's choked them, and she's physically sat on my 10-year-old, and at the time, this was about 6 or 7 years ago. And so anyway,
what's the question for us then?
Yeah, my question is, should I stay or should I let her come back? And the other thing is, the other point is that I'm now on disability because of my memory.
Mm-hmm.
The last time it was her and her brother who assaulted me. What happened at that time was they were both kicking and punching me, and I went unconscious, and I woke up 3 or 4 times because they were still doing it.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
And did you file charges against either of them?
I did. There is a police report. I believe he already spent time. This happened in 2009, and I received a damage to my knee, and I've had a knee surgery, a rotator cuff injury, and then my whole head, the whole thing around my head was swollen, and I couldn't sleep. I had to sleep on my chin.
Well, anyway. Jerry, don't you feel that you have an obligation to protect your kids from
her? I do.
Mm-hmm. And yourself.
Yes, I do.
If I were you, I would have a restraining order first and foremost, so that you don't end up, and the brother needs a restraining order against him, too. That'd be the first step. Mylon, Jill, what do you think?
Well, a police report is one step. The next thing would be, if you haven't passed the statutes of limitations, would be to file charges of assault and with intent to assault and battery. And they could actually be tried. You now have a medically verifiable condition. And I would press charges. I wouldn't let that person back in my life for...
Yeah, I'm wondering why you're asking that question, Jerry.
Because, like I said, God hates divorce. And, you know, like I said, I've been a Christian.
You're right. Divorce is not a good thing. However, under certain circumstances, you know, like the safety of your life, it's important to have some distance so that you can protect yourself and your kids, as Steve was saying. So it also, you know, the Bible also calls us to be wise and not to be a fool, and to let somebody in who is using drugs and alcohol and has a history of assault against people she supposedly loves, that's a dangerous person.
Sure is.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you followed the life of Paul, which I just finished reading in the book of Acts, there were multiple times where he was in danger. People alerted him, and he escaped, and they provided ways of escape from him to keep him from these people who wanted to kill or hurt him. And so, you know, the Bible says, well, God hates divorce, but that doesn't mean that I allow myself, male or female, to tolerate abuse. And I would say on this show, almost 100% universally, we tell people, male or female, to leave the house, escape, find refuge, and protect yourself under the law.
Don't allow. First. And this kind of abuse, this sounds severe, the fact that you were really harmed here, Jerry.
Yes.
And I think you need to, and kind of a repeat of what we say to a lot of people, you need to hold her accountable. You shouldn't usher her. I wouldn't even have dinner with her until she has started some kind of recovery program. And
absolutely,
I wouldn't even be considering whether or not to come back. Now, she can change, and I would pray for her. But if she's not going to AA meetings or Narcotics Anonymous meetings, then, you know, she's still in that horrible place that she's been in and is not to be trusted, especially not to be trusted with your children.
Let me put a time element on this. I would not let anybody in my life who treated me like this for years. Okay, not weeks, not months, years.
Yeah, in a recovery program, going to meetings, living in a halfway house, you know, minimum at least a year of track record doing that.
And should Child Protective Services be called to protect your stepson that's being dragged around by this person that, you know, has some serious emotional issues?
This is where
protection comes in, and will you step up and protect that child? And maybe that needs to take place also.
Well, and this is where sometimes I think under the guise of wanting to be good Christians, loving Christians, caring Christians, we end up being wimps in the sense that we don't set the boundaries where they need to be set that will really help the person. And so, Jerry, this is kind of where the tough love approach really does work. She needs to hit up against those boundaries. Otherwise, she's not going to stop. She's completely out of control.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I hope that's helpful to you.
It is.
Let me send you, I'll send you Mylon's book, How We Love and Boundaries in Marriage. I think both of those will be a big help to you. You're listening to New Life Live. We need your help. We're working toward 1,000 new members to Club New Life, and we're over halfway there for the year. Come join us. I think you'll love being a part of Club New Life. I send you a CD that I make just for you every month. You get discounts and special privileges as part of the New Life giving family. And if you don't want to join a club because you're not a joiner, well, maybe a one-time gift this summer could help us to achieve this matching 100,000.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And let's go to Lynn, who's calling from Alexandria, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Thank you all so much for taking my call.
Well, certainly.
I'm in a relationship with a man who is 63, and I'm 52. And I'm wondering if there's any hope for it, because he's not big on affection or romance.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really compliment. I mean, I can see it on his face, but he doesn't verbalize it. So, and I'm someone who does need affection. He's okay sometimes, but he kind of detaches.
Maybe you could go into business with him if he's not affectionate.
And what would they do?
I don't know.
Yeah, what would we do? We really have a good time. We get along well. I believe he cares for me. I care for him, and we enjoy each other's company and all. But I'm having a hard time with the affection. And for instance, we are long distance, but we see each other frequently.
Does he know that you have a problem with his lack of affection?
Yes, because I'll ask him, you know, give me a hug when I see him, and I'll like, no, I need both arms, and, you know, and he'll do it, and he doesn't mind me hugging him or touching him. I mean, he'll even hold my hand, but he won't, he doesn't grab my hand.
Yeah. What does he say is the reason that he doesn't do that kind of stuff?
Well, I haven't asked for the reason.
Well, then why are you even thinking about, if you haven't gotten to those kinds of questions, that, I mean, this is the thing that's foremost on your mind. It doesn't seem like you should be considering going further down the road until, you know, what if he says to you, I was abandoned by my mother and I just started getting counseling for it. Well, that'd be a reason to hang in there with this guy, you know? He's identified the problem. He's doing something about it. But you've got to talk to him to see what he says is the reason. Mylon, Jill?
Right. I mean, maybe he's trying to be very respectful of mm-hmm. you in the dating process and is really, you know, worried about crossing a line before you guys...
No, that's not it.
Okay. In my dreams, right?
In your dreams.
No, that's not it.
Nah.
Okay, I can admit I'm wrong.
Well, with that piece, you know?
My other thought was, though, about, you know, how was he in his marriage, if he was married before, or previous relationships?
I'm not sure. I've been trying to get some of that information as well out of him, and he doesn't share a whole lot about his past. He's been married twice, and he does have his children. They all appear to love him. His home is the home, and he does have a small 8-year-old from another relationship. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's in, you know, people and family and all, but for some reason, the affection is not there.
Now, he doesn't talk to you. He doesn't share his secrets with you, and he doesn't hug you. It sounds like a blow-up doll could... provide the same kind of, you could direct the hands, arms around you like you did him. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it, Lynn. I'm just trying to have some fun with you. But I think there is a significant difference between the two of you that is a big red flag.
But he does know how to have sex. obviously, because he has kids, you see.
Yeah.
And that's one of the major disconnects for a lot of avoidant males, mm-hmm. is they're nonverbal, they're not affectionate, they're not expressive responsive, they don't like to cuddle. And so they lack that external expressive responsive part. But they also are not, they don't share their internal journey either. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's hard for you to get these answers out of him.
Yeah.
And so he could be likable, but he's going to be shallow. There's not going to be a lot of depth, and you're going to, and yet you may say, could he grow? I don't know it, you know, whether he could or not. Like Steve is saying, you know, is it possible to grow? Well, people that are over 60 can grow, Jeff.
It's rare. It's rare, Mylon.
It's rare.
Especially if they're professional.
Anyway. So as the joke here, Lynn, is I'm 62, so that's what they're laughing at. I'm saying, can a person, is there life after 60?
Yes, no.
Yes, I mean, no, yes, no. So you really have to realize you're married to an avoidant dismissive, or you're dating an avoidant dismissive male who...
Well, and that is the question, isn't it? Is it just an issue of he's not huggy? Or is it pervasive in all areas, as you were describing?
Right, Mylon? which is on an emotional basis. Mm-hmm. He is Spartan as well.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you sparingly on an emotional basis. So it's not just in a physical deprivation. There's an emotional deprivation as well. And in the long run, it is the emotional connection that is more important than
you can
a
teach
touch.
Someone to hug.
Yeah, or you can accept that the touch ratio is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. And that they show their love in other ways.
We live with that.
Right.
But because there's emotional fulfillment, I accept the whole package. This is what Jill and I were talking about right after the break. We were asking, how do you live with these tensions of having something that's not fully perfect, and what are my non-negotiables?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm really glad that you called, and let me send you Mylon's book because it will help you understand the avoidant male. I'm going to send you also Avoiding Mr. Wrong, because there are 10 personality types in there that we need to avoid. But I got to tell you guys, while we were on the air, I received an email from Desiree. She's one of the Soaring Sisters, and she says, yesterday morning I stood on the scales. I have lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
Yay.
I've been to Lose It for Life, and it has taken me 2 years to do this. And she sent a picture, and she just looks great. You know, we're having Lose It for Life at the end of this year, and we would love for you to come to Lose It for Life and get started on a journey of not just losing weight, but picking up your life. And getting on with what God wants for your life. That's what we want.
But part of that story is the Soaring Sisters.
Yes, she has that connection. Yes. With
what
them.
Is that? I mean, it's a group of women that came out of Lose It for Life, and they said, hey, we're soul sisters.
Yeah.
And they've stayed connected, and they have helped each other as a group, and that's the value of community, Steve.
Yeah. Amen. Anyway, I'm so glad she sent that, but it might be a little nudge for you to call us. We've also got a wonderful, wonderful New Life weekend coming up, and every man's battle is every month, and we need your help here. We need your support. If you can support us, please do. And you do that by going to the new website, newlife.com, or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A scripture today from 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, follow the Lord's rules for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is qualified and wins no prize. We're here when it is simply impossible for you to follow the rules, when you know what to do, but you simply cannot do it. You're unable to do it. Your best intentions, your hardest efforts, your greatest willpower, you've tried it all, and you finally reach a point where you say, okay, I am now willing to do whatever it takes. What a great moment that is, because willingness unlocks the doors. It knocks down the walls that we've been walking into. And I just hope and pray that you will pray for willingness in your life, especially if you feel like you're hitting walls over and over again. Those of you that support us, thank you so much. Thank you, Mylon, and thank you, Jill. Thank you, Terry McIntosh, and all that make this program possible. We will see you here next time on New Life Live. See that new website, newlife.com. It's a good one. I think you'll like it. Or just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.